Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Mitch Lieb, Executive Director of the Real Q Pittsburgh LGBT Film Festival. It's a mouthful, but did I get it right?
You did.
And the festival is celebrating its 30th year here in Pittsburgh.
That's correct. It's our 30th anniversary.
Congratulations. You don't look Thank a year you. Over 29. How long have you been with the organization?
I started, I think, in 2002. Yeah. So, and I've done different jobs. I've been the executive director since the end of 2009.
And a lot of the films are shown here at the Harris Theater downtown, which is where we are today.
All the films, actually.
And for 30 years, has it been here? How long has the Harris been around?
I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, the Harris has been here for a long time. It was actually a porn theater before it was the Harris.
Oh.
But I don't remember exactly.
I will say this. It's exceptionally clean, if anybody
is. I remember these billboards that said, our patrons only wear raincoats now when it rains.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they did.
That's clever marketing.
Yeah,
I like
first
that.
Switched over. But we've been in a lot of places. We've been at what was the Fulton, which is now the Bayou.
Right, right.
In the Fulton Mini. First time I ever went, I think, was at the Rex Theater over on in the South Side. When I started on the board, we were here. We also were at the Warhol a little bit. We were at the South Side Works for a few years, and now we're back home here.
So on average, in any given week, how many hours do you spend watching movies?
It depends on the time of the year.
Yeah.
You know, it really depends. And then I go to San Francisco to their film festival, Frameline, and watch something like 40 films in about 11 days. So that's my intensive film watching. But we actually get films that are sent in to us throughout the year. We have a screening committee. We watch some of them at home. We watch some of them together. And make decisions on them. And we also often go to Toronto for their festival.
So what makes a film an LGBTQ film? Is it made that way? Is it a choice?
Well, I mean, technically, because I've been asked this before, it's LGBTQ themed, or Q is sort of understood.
Right.
It's the theme, or it can be the people who've done the film. But I prefer the theme, because if it's a queer filmmaker who's making a straight film, we can just see that in a regular theater. But we never say never, and sometimes those things happen.
So what is your selection process like then? You told me a little bit about how you view them independently as a team together, but as far as the selection, what does it come down to?
Well, it's mostly about variety. We want men's films, we want women's films. We want transgender films and bisexual films, and we try to have an even number of men's and women's films. This year we haven't every year, but most years. Bisexual films are a little tougher to find. The transgender films are becoming really good, and in fact we have a couple of, we have a really good one this year, and we have several really good short films. But there's, you know, documentaries and comedies and dramas, and trying to get a good mix of that, as well as ethnicities. That being, you know, do we have the African-American community represented, Asian, Latino, but also bringing films from countries that are all over the world is important as well.
Now, the LGBT landscape has changed a lot, I think, especially in the last couple of years. I mean, you could argue that there's been more progress made in the last 2 years than the last 200. So have you seen that change reflected in the films that you're watching?
Yeah, I think we have. Actually, I was in San Francisco when everything came down. National marriage equality. And when Prop 8 was struck down.
Well, of all the places to be.
It was quite the place to be. But yeah, I think there have been topics that we've gone through. I mean, we had lots of HIV and AIDS films. And there are still some. But not as predominant. We've had a lot of coming out films, which aren't as exciting unless they're really well done now. I always said we had a lot of women having babies films for a couple of years, but now there's a lot more of, like, in fact, we have a short film called I Do about, you know, people getting married and what that's about and the different things that occur with that. And, you know, I think art just reflects society.
Sure, sure. So where do you see it going from here then?
I am not clairvoyant. But I do think, I am happy to say that the quality of the films has increased year after year. We used to sort of be like, well, that's a gay film, so even if the quality isn't that good, we're going to show it. But that's really not the case anymore.
Well, I imagine that, you know, in previous years, and I'm talking 20, 30, 40 years ago, it would have been much harder to get a film with an LGBTQ theme made.
Well, they were independent films. Yeah. There were a few big-name films, but even they were sort of independent, you know, Longtime Companion, things like that, The Ritz.
Oh, yeah.
But that was certainly not a blockbuster, you know.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of films that are coming out. They're just getting better and better. Part of it is technology and being able to make a good film for less money with better equipment.
And I think the portrayal of LGBT characters, too. Because I think back to, like, the 40s where nobody was ever called, you know,
right.
It was just sort of implied. And those are the roles that, like, Edward Everett Horton always got stuck with. You know, nobody would ever talk about it in a mainstream film.
Sure.
But now I think, you know, the stereotypes are starting to drift away. And really the portrayals, I think, are becoming more genuine and deep.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole celluloid closet,
yep.
You know, and all of that. And it's pretty interesting, really. But yeah, we're not just the wacky best friend or the serial killer.
Or the hairdresser.
Or the hairdresser, you know, or the crazy guy in the corner, you know, or the two women who live together that nobody talks about,
right.
You know, the teachers or whatever. So there's a full range of roles because there are a full range of people in our society.
Now, is there something that sticks out in your mind as maybe the first impression that you had of an LGBT character on film that really resonated?
Yeah, actually, it's sort of funny because they showed it again in San Francisco years ago. Remember the film, I don't know, you're younger than I am, Making Love?
Now, what kind of film is this? Let's just be clear.
This was mainstream. This was Harry Hamlin, and Michael Ankin, and Jackson. From Charlie's Angels. Kate Jackson.
Okay.
Kate Jackson plays Michael Ankin's wife, and Michael Ankin ends up having this affair with Harry Hamlin. And Harry Hamlin has gone on to say that it sort of ruined his career for a long time. And it was really mild. There's just this, like, little scene where they sort of unbutton each other a little, and then that's all you see. But I remember as a kid, like, sneaking into the living room in the middle of the night and watching it on HBO. You know, it was really, that was really something
deal.
In its day.
Huh.
Yeah. That was a big thing.
So what about films that are considered to be, I don't know what the term would be, like, there's not necessarily gay content, but they sort of have a place in the gay camp canon. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, there's a
like
lot
Mommy
of that.
Dearest
Mommy,
and things
yeah,
like that.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff. And we as a culture just enjoy camp and sarcasm and that kind of humor.
I'm trying to define
that. And there is a certain thing, like straight people just don't always understand it. Like, I have a friend who was in a business meeting, and one of his associates said something like, well, if I wasn't stuck in that route, I would be selling more. And he said, but you are, Blanche. You are. And he said, like, nobody
Who's
got
Blanche?
It.
Who's Blanche?
Like, nobody got it. And he had to call me after the meeting so that I would laugh.
Right. Now, we have to state for the record, that is from Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
She says, "What if I weren't in this chair?
Right.
She says, but you are, Blanche.
Yeah, and you know, I remember they showed that film at the Byam. Now maybe about 8 years ago, as part of a little film series that they were doing down there. And everybody, I mean, just riotous. Every line of Davis's either got applause, laughter, or, a speech with it. I think we should work on turning Baby Jane into a Rocky Horror thing where you can have, like, interaction.
Well, we showed a film several years ago at this point called Baby Jane with a question mark.
Yes, I know of it.
That's a really great film. It's actually one of my favorites that we've shown. It's so campy and great. And actually, we're showing a sequel to it. In December, we're showing Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Because I'm a fan of all those the originals. And now this is sort of, and not to sell it short, but these that you're mentioning are sort of like a drag homage / spoof.
Yes.
Of these classic films with Bette Davis, Joan Crawford, Olivia de Havilland.
Yes.
So I'll be here in December for that, certainly.
It's going to be great. There's a lot of good stuff coming up. We've got All About Evil with Peaches Christ coming up.
This week.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a little stage show going on with Peaches and some local drag queens and some who've come in. Sharon Needles is going to come and introduce it. It's going to be huge amounts of fun. It's not really our opening. It's sort of our pre-opening special event. We've worked, Kevin Lovelace on our board has worked really hard to make this happen. Josh Grinnell, who is Peaches Christ, who I met as Josh. He's like the nicest, most unassuming person.
Which is different from Peaches, because I've not met Peaches.
I've not met Peaches either. I've seen Peaches a couple of times, like in films and things. And Peaches is a force.
She'll be here.
She will be here. But I have not actually personally met Peaches.
No, you will.
Only Josh. And then Friday night is our actual opening film called Out to Win, which is really a great film. It's a documentary about out athletes. And they interview Martina Navratilova and Billie Jean King. And they talk a lot about Michael Sam and... there are so many of them, and their names are heading right out of my head. But it's really interesting. We cover basketball and football and tennis, and there are young people who are just coming out in it. There are certainly older people who have been out. It's really inspiring. The director and the producer and the editor will be here too.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So the festival goes on for about 3-4 weeks.
You're exaggerating. It's 10 days.
So it's a small amount of time to get down and see these things. And I assume we can buy passes through the website.
You can go to our website, which is reelq, R-E-E-L, like a film reel, q.org, not .com, but .org. And you can buy tickets online. You can also get tickets at the theater. Mm-hmm. But it's always better to have them ahead of time.
And we'll certainly share the link here after the...
Sure.
Just looking at the program.
We're on Twitter and we're on Facebook. You should like us on those.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Follow us. Instagram. We have great short films. We have a...
Yes, I see here, men's shorts. Now, that could be taken a couple ways.
There are. In fact, in San Francisco, they call it fun in men's shorts. And we have women's shorts. They're always really good. We have the hour shorts, which is usually on a weeknight, but this year we're showing it on the first Saturday in the morning. It's a mixture of literally like the LGBTQ shorts. Mm-hmm. There's some really, really, really good ones this year.
And for those of us with short attention spans, friends. That's great because you see a lot of movies in one spot.
It really is. I love it because they can be anywhere from like 3 minutes to about 20. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have anything longer than 20.
Now, have you ever premiered an LGBT film that was produced here in Pittsburgh? Because there's a lot of films being made here.
Sort of. I mean, there was a documentary about Vanessa German, the artist, and we show that here. Although I think it actually premiered elsewhere. Almost every single film that we show, whether it be a full length or a short film, is a Pittsburgh premiere, and usually a Pennsylvania premiere, but not always.
Well, I think that's great that Pittsburgh has had now for 30 years this particular film festival. What have you seen to be the impact of having that here in this city?
Well, it's really interesting because I think it used to be a lot more politically charged. I know years ago when Rich Cummings, who started the festival, was running it, we were actually picketed.
Wow.
And it's, you know, we're just not that politically divisive anymore. Mainstream media call me in and ask me to send them information and do interviews and things like that. And it's really nice. It's nice to be that accepted. It's sort of there's a little part of you that would like to be a little edgier, I think, again. But every once in a while, there's a film that does sort of push the limit. And it's a little tougher now because, like, when I started going to the film festivals, if you didn't see a film here, then you just wouldn't see it. But now a lot of them will come out. You can download them at Wolf.
That's true.
Or buy them. Some of them are on Netflix, but not all of them, and especially not the short films. And you don't have the ability to watch them in a theater with your community because it is a different experience. I've seen films that I've watched at home in my living room with some of the programmers that I didn't love, and then I saw it in San Francisco in a big theater and thought, wow, this was really great. And it's just different. Not only is the screen bigger, but also seeing it with other people.
Right. So we encourage everybody to get out,
yep.
enjoy it, be part of that community, yep. and, you know, regardless of what community you're from. Right. You know,
we have a lot of straight people who come to this festival every year, and that's great. You know, because they should. There's really quality films. Sometimes they wander in off the streets, and sometimes they have gay friends, and they just come with them. You asked about passes. We have what we call a Diva Pass, which is for the whole thing, including the opening night and party, which is going to be at Bricolage. It's going to be really fun. And closing night, our closing night film is 54, the disco Studio 54 movie.
Right, is it the one with Mike Myers?
Steve Rebell and Ryan Phillippe. And you may ask, why are you showing that? But what happened, this is what they call the director's cut. And when it was originally made, the studio was afraid of it. And they cut huge pieces of it out and really watered it down. And it was sort of, you know, an interesting film, but it wasn't a great film. They have restored the bisexuality of Ryan Phillippe's main character, more of the drug use, more of the culture of the place. And if you've seen the film before, you've not seen this film.
It sounds like it.
And then we're going to have an after party around the corner at the Arthur Murray Dance Studio.
Wow.
We're all going to wear 70s garb, so you have to get your 70s garb.
I know.
Yeah.
Arthur Murray taught me dancing in a hurry. Yeah. I owe it to him. Well, this just sounds like a great party.
It really is.
The whole thing for all 10 days.
Yeah, there's a lot. We have films that have won awards at different film festivals, the San Francisco Film Festival. Some of them have been at Sundance. They're just some really, really great films that people should come in and see. Not every film is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's a film the second Friday night called Guidance. And it's about this down in his luck former child star who is out of work, and he looks in the paper and he finds this job about being a high school guidance counselor. And he decides to apply and he gets in, and he's like the worst. Like, he gets high with the students and drinks with them and gives them terrible advice. And it is so wrong, and it's so funny.
I've got to see it. Yeah, I see it Friday on the 16th at 9 p.m. That one's going on. Oh, I've got to check that one out.
Yeah, Margarita with a Straw is a really great women's film.
Well, it's just by the title, it's something I can relate to.
There you go. But no, it's that's an award winner in many festivals. The Tab Hunter documentary.
Oh, yeah, Tab Hunter Confidential, Monday on the 12th.
Really good. Even if you don't know who he is, because I know a lot of younger people wouldn't, it's really interesting to come and watch and learn, and you learn about the old studio system from talking to him.
And how much has changed.
Yeah, Liz in September is a really great film. The director and crew of Alto will be here right before closing night, which is a really fun film with Diana DeGarmo from American Idol.
Yeah.
She was like number two, I think, many, many years ago. There's just a lot of really interesting and good things to see. Kiss Me, Kill Me stars Gail Harold. I can never say that. Gail Harold.
That is a tough one.
Queer as Folk.
Yes.
It's an interesting whodunit murder.
A little bit of everything. Well, keep up the good work. Here's to another 30 years.
All right.
And I hope you're there 30 years from now.
Oh, I hope I'm not. I really hope I'm not. But I'll see you at 31.
Yes, indeed, my friend, indeed. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.